Millions of people with physical disabilities need help with the basic tasks of everyday life, getting dressed or getting out of bed, for instance. If they can, they rely on family or hire help. But often, government policies force them into nursing homes. In Kansas, a crusade by disability activists is moving people out of nursing facilities and into their own homes. NPR's Joseph Shapiro has the fourth part of our series, Housing First.
Mike Oxford remembers the first person he got out of a nursing home, a 35-year-old woman who'd lived in nursing homes from the time she was 25. She had muscular dystrophy, and she desperately wanted to be reunited with her kids. State officials in Kansas argued the woman had to stay in the nursing home for her health and safety. That's when the woman asked Oxford and several friends to bust her out.
And so we literally just set it up with her that at a certain day, at a certain time, we were going to go over there. And we went over there with a pickup truck and a lift van. And we literally went in and just wheeled her out of there. And they were chasing us. They called the police. We were trying to hold them off.
That was 10 years ago. Oxford tells the story from his large corner office, which looks right out on the dome of the state capitol in Topeka. Oxford sees things differently. Most people look at a man or woman living in a nursing home and see a person who has lost health. Mike Oxford sees someone who has lost freedom.
We don't do medical stuff. We're not trying to cure anybody. We're not trying to alleviate a symptom. Our prime thing that we look at is advocating for liberty interests, and nobody else is doing that.
Oxford understands why liberty is precious to people with disabilities. He's got a rare degenerative disc condition. In just a few years, he's gone from walking painfully with a cane to needing an electric scooter. It's candy apple red. Oxford wears his long hair in a ponytail. A peace sign dangles from his ear. He looks the part of someone who likes to challenge conventional thinking.
There's really nothing that goes on in a nursing home that can't be also provided in your own home and community. Nothing.
That's a controversial idea, but Oxford is winning acceptance for it. He wants to take nursing home funding and use it instead to pay for in-home personal attendance. Oxford directs the Topeka Independent Living Resource Center. It's better known as TILRIC. One admirer says Oxford runs a freedom factory because he's helped hundreds of people leave nursing homes. His latest case is a woman named Dawn Brown. On this day, Oxford has sent staff from TILRIC to Brown's nursing home.
Attention all visitors and residents. There will be patriotic tunes and ice cream in the main dining room at 2 o'clock.
Brown's small room is divided by a flimsy curtain. A silent stranger has just moved in on the other side. Dawn Brown is 56 years old, but she looks years older. Maybe it's her drawn face, her tired eyes, or her missing teeth. Or maybe, as she tells attorney Kirk Lowry, it's because she's tired of living in this nursing home.
So you're trying to find your own place, huh?
Desperately.
Yeah.
Brown wants to move into her own apartment, if everything goes smoothly. Lowry and his colleague Steve Richardson think they can get her into a place within days. Brown is at the top of a state waiting list to get in-home attendance several hours a day. They would help her eat, bathe, and get much of the help she's been receiving in the nursing home. For Brown, that would be freedom.
Oh, I would love it. Because I have a house.
What's nice about having your own house?
I wish I could do anything I wanted to do.
Today, Lowry and Richardson need to take her to the Public Housing Authority. That may seem like a simple thing to do, but it's not. Brown is stopped on the way out by staff at the nursing home.
How you doing, Dawn?
How are you doing?
First of all, I need a little information on what's going on right here.
Yes, my name's Kirk Lowry.
From Topeka Independent Living.
And his interests are?
I represent her.
On whose authority?
Hers.
And you've had a competency hearing to determine that she's capable of making that decision. Okay.
Competency. Two very different views of Dawn Brown are about to collide, and her freedom hangs in the balance. Brown's case is not an easy one. She came to this nursing home 14 months ago. Before that, she was homeless. In fact, she was living in a dumpster. Workers for a state agency found her. They arranged for an operation she needed. The nursing home then gave her a safe place to live. Now a psychiatrist for the nursing home says Brown would not be safe living on her own. Candace Young is Brown's social worker at the nursing home. She reads from the psychiatrist's report.
Without a controlled, structured, supportive environment, she is at risk of decompensation, deterioration physically and mentally. She needs cues and 24-hour supervision.
But Tilrick attorney Lowry says there's a better way to look at Dawn Brown, not as the woman who was rescued from a dumpster, but as the woman she was before she ended up homeless. Brown became homeless after she got hit by a car. Her knee was fractured, and she wound up using a wheelchair. She couldn't work at the fast food restaurant where she cleaned tables. Then she fell behind on her rent, and she got evicted.
Her history is important. Worked on her own, worked at minimum wage, managed an unbelievably tight budget. She told me she paid her own bill, she had her own checking account. Nothing has changed except that she was hit by a car and unable to work at Taco Bell.
And Lowry says that's not enough reason for anyone to argue that Brown can't make her own decisions.
We found her in a dumpster, and we don't want her to go back there. Now, nobody does. Everybody wants her to be safe. But a person's liberty is the most important, and we have to start with the assumption that she is free and she can live on her own, until proven otherwise.
One day after Lowry's visit to Brown, something happens that changes things. Lawyers for the state go to court. They ask a judge to find that Brown is incompetent and to appoint a guardian to make decisions for her. If a judge agrees, then it may not matter what Brown wants. It's what the guardian wants that will determine her future. The state's doctors have prepared a report for the judge. It claims that Brown needs 24-hour care because her IQ is barely above the cutoff for mental retardation. Back at their office, Lowry and Oxford plot strategy. Oxford knows he has to play by the court's rules now. He has to find other experts to evaluate Brown.
If we just go in and we have all these doctor and social worker and stuff reports saying, and we go in there and going, civil rights, she deserves to be free, the judge is going to go, meh, they win, and then she's going to lose.
Usually, Mike Oxford's an activist. Last winter, he led a wheelchair takeover at the state capitol. It succeeded, and the budget for the state attendant care program was spared deep cuts. But when he needs to, Oxford can be an inside player. Next week, he travels to Washington. He'll talk about national funding of attendance with Mitch Daniels, President Bush's top budget officer. Still, getting people into their own homes is done one at a time. Dawn Brown's case is not the first time competency became the issue. Remember the 35-year-old woman who Mike Oxford helped 10 years ago? State officials said she lacked the mental and physical capacity to be safe on her own.
We're down to 121 schools now.
Are we?
Yeah, we were doing pretty good.
That's why Alma Mortel, in a soup kitchen. She's a volunteer. The woman once ruled unable to care for herself. Now she helps care for hundreds of homeless people. 5 days a week, Mortel rides her power wheelchair to work at soup kitchens in Lawrence, Kansas. Today she's counting out silverware for lunch in a church basement.
One, two, three, four, five, six.
It's hard to recognize Mortel from the woman depicted 10 years ago in court documents. The state said she was at constant threat of dying. She fell, she choked on her food, she had trouble breathing. Mortel says those descriptions underestimated her, especially the claim that she was depressed.
That makes me laugh. It's funny that to say I was depressed, they made me depressed, you know? Being in a nursing home, how would you like to sit in your bowels all day long, you know, not get changed for hours at a time? You know, wouldn't that depress you? You know, of course.
Mortel's very happy with her life today. She lives in a two-bedroom house where she's planted neat rows of peppers, cantaloupes, and wildflowers.
Over here, I'm trying to grow peppers. Pepper, 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 and pepper. And here, these here are my cantaloupes.
Mortel needs a lot of help. Her muscular dystrophy has worsened. Four aides hired by the state come to her house 10 hours a day. They assist her with things like bathing and cooking. What Mortel cannot do herself, she teaches her aides, like how to use the mechanical lift to get her out of bed. After she left the nursing home, Mortel was reunited with her two teenage sons. They had been in foster care. On this day, her oldest son, George, is visiting. He's recently out of the Navy. Now he's working for an insurance company.
My mom is literally my motivation for everything, and I've overcame many odds myself. It's mere shadowing what she's already accomplished, and I'm very proud of her.
There's another person who learned from Wyoma Mortel's case, Janet Shalansky. 10 years ago, she worked at the state agency that tried to keep Mortel in a nursing home. Now, Shalansky runs the agency, the Kansas Department of Social and Rehabilitation Services. She says she's learned a lot from the work of Mike Oxford and his Independent Living Center.
I think they've continued to demonstrate to us and show us illustrations of what folks can do in the community and what they can do independently that they don't need to be taken care of. They don't need to be in a medical model.
Sometimes Shalansky's agency works in partnership with Oxford. She recently asked him to help move people who'd been wrongly placed in psychiatric nursing homes. That will save the state money. And much of Tilrick's budget comes from Shalansky's agency to pay for helping people live on their own. Yet sometimes things get nasty and bitter, as over the case of Dawn Brown. Oxford says the state has put Brown in a trap. In the protective cocoon of a nursing home, almost everything is done for her. Then the state judges her on what she doesn't do or on what she's forgotten how to do.
I'm convinced that if things go okay, that she will relearn skills and will move ahead and participate in the community and do things. And she wants that too and needs to have a chance. And with those things in place, a lot of people really do end up with interesting and rewarding lives.
Oxford staff is ready to help Brown succeed, to teach her how to budget her money, get around on buses, link her up to food banks or any other services she needs. It will teach her to hire, train, and if necessary, fire the caregivers who come into her home. Oxford Center will even donate sofas, pots, and pans. Mike Oxford says there's no one he won't help live on their own. His success rate is high. Only rarely does someone go back to a nursing home. Someone like Brown may need a lot of help at first, but Oxford says that's just normal life.
We all succeed, we all fail. Sometimes we drop back and move forward, move laterally. It happens to everybody.
1 week from today, Dawn Brown gets her day in court. She's got one extra thing in her favor. Last spring, Tilrick lobbied to change the state laws on guardianship. The new law just went into effect. And it says a judge must consider a person's ability to live on their own with help, the kind of help provided by Oxford Center. The judge has never met Dawn Brown, but he must try to make the best decision, one that will help settle the question, can Dawn Brown leave the nursing home for a place of her own? Joseph Shapiro, NPR News, Topeka, Kansas.
There are photos from Topeka and Lawrence, Kansas, and lots more information about NPR's Housing First project on our website, npr.org.